I would like to call this meeting of the Taney County Commission, Monday, March 31st, 2014, to order. To note that there was no public comment this morning. And if I could call on Mr. Finley for an opening prayer. Rick?
Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and again, we thank you for blessings you give us. We are amazed at the blessings you pour out upon us. Thank you for the great spring weather we've been enjoying. Looks like we're going to have some rain today. We thank you for that. Most of all, God, we thank you for your son that you sent to die upon the cross for each one of us. Thank you for that love and knowing the need that we might have. We pray, Lord, that you just be with us today and each and every day that we go about the work you set before us down here. We pray that you would just give us wisdom as you promised us in your word. We pray that you would just give us guidance in all that we do, that we'd be able to follow you in a great and mighty way. We pray for those that may need your healing hand, that might need your comforting hand, that may need to be just consoled, Lord. We know that you can take care of each and every one of those things and just lift those up to you, that maybe each one of us has someone that we might place in there as a name that would be needing some of those things. We just lift those up to you. Pray that you would just give us guidance in all we do. These things we ask in your son's name.
Amen. Commissioner Williams, if you'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Commission remarks. Our first formal order of business this morning are comments regarding the Central Taney County Fire Protection District, and we have asked Commission Counsel to be with us. Frank, could you join us? Frank Cotty. There have been a number of issues that have been brought up regarding the recent taxation of parcels of property that fell within annexed areas that the city of Forsyth had annexed. And the taxes regarding 2011-2012 and the judge's ruling regarding those taxes. And we have asked our commission counsel if, in fact, he would give us an opinion, which he has, and we've asked this morning if he would elaborate on that opinion and other questions that have arisen because of this issue. If you could pull that a little closer, they'd better be able to hear you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Commissioner Houseman. Yes, I was asked recently to prepare and submit a legal opinion to the commissioners regarding the latest facet of this matter involving taxes for the Central Taney County Fire Protection District. The specific question that came to me was brought on by a taxpayer, a woman who came to Commissioner Houseman and asked him about a tax bill she received that included taxes for the Central Taney County Fire Protection District for 2011 and 2012. She questioned the fairness of being taxed for those 2 years because she did not own any property in the tax in the fire protection district in those 2 years. She acquired it afterwards. It's a fair question. Commissioner Houseman and the other commissioners asked that I look into what the law provided as far as things that the commission might be able to do to help out. They were sympathetic to the situation. I looked at it, and the short answer is that the county commission doesn't have authority to do anything about those taxes. It is not a fair situation. The courts even acknowledge that in their decisions where similar situations have occurred. That is, someone buys a piece of property. They don't believe that there are any taxes owed, and then a tax bill comes in with back taxes on it, and they're held responsible. The arguments have been made that's not fair, and the courts say that's true, it's not fair. The argument has been made that the state or the county in this case, having made the mistake and not getting the tax bills out earlier, ought to have to bear the results. They ought to carry the burden, but the courts have rejected that. And so the opinion that I provided the commission was that although it's unfair and we feel sympathy for this particular lady and any others who acquired property after 2012 for which they're now being asked to pay taxes for 2011 and 2012. Although we're sympathetic, there's just simply no legal vehicle available to this commission to have any influence on those taxes. So from their perspective, they can't help. In discussing, I prepared an opinion, submitted it, and then we discussed it last week. And during the course of that discussion, I was asked to come speak because this thing has gone on long enough that it's raised questions, and there seems to be maybe a lack of understanding of the history of all of this. And so I thought I'd talk with everyone about that now. This thing started with the Central Taney County Fire Protection District asking that the county collect taxes for it. The Central Taney County Fire Protection District relies on its tax monies to operate and provide fire protection. In doing so, it uses the statutes of the state of Missouri. That's how it's organized. That's how its fundraising is governed. And what the law says is that the Central Taney County Fire Protection District and any others organized in similar fashion, what they do is they sit down, their board sits down each year and figures out how much money they're going to need. They figure out the tax rate, the tax levy that will be needed to raise the amount of tax revenue to operate in the coming year. And having made that decision, the Fire Protection District then turns to the county for assistance in collecting it. The county, in their turn, is required with the Fire Protection District and other similar political subdivisions that are entitled to tax revenue to operate. The county is required to collect the money for them. But that's about all that the county does in that regard. And pursuant to the statute, the Fire Protection District, having decided how much the levy should be, conveyed that information to the county commission with instructions to collect that money, to pass the word on, as it were, to the county officers involved in the collection process, that being the county assessor, the county clerk, and the county collector. That was done, and taxes were collected for 2011, 2012, and for preceding years. But not all of the people who lived in the Central Taney County Fire Protection District were taxed for property that they had there in 2011. Their names were omitted from the names of those people who were to receive a tax bill for that particular item of taxes. That was done, I understand, by the assessor. The assessor starts this collection process rolling by providing the information to the clerk and then to the collector, and the collector sends out the bill. If the names of the people who are to receive the tax bills for the Central Taney County Fire Protection District, if that list of names isn't complete, the clerk and the collector simply don't have all of the information they need to send those tax bills out. At any rate, the tax bills went out, names were omitted, monies were not demanded, and as a result, the Fire Protection District raised a complaint. And at this point, I've got my first information about it in the form of a letter that came from the Fire Protection District's lawyer demanding that these taxes that had not been billed be paid, and threatening a lawsuit if they weren't. The explanation for why certain individuals who owned property in the Central Taney County Fire Protection District weren't taxed was that those individuals live in an area that was both within the boundaries of the Central Taney County Fire Protection District and also within the boundaries of the city of Forsyth, what became known as the overlapping area. And it worked this way. That piece of property had been part of the Central Taney County Fire Protection District, those boundaries. The city of Forsyth annexed additional property, brought it within their boundaries, and it was that annexation that put certain pieces of property both within the Fire Protection District and the city of Forsyth. The people owning property within that overlapping area had the benefit of protection, fire protection, from both the Fire Protection District and the city of Forsyth. They had double protection. Some of them, however, complained to the assessor about the double taxation that went along with that. They were paying taxes to the Central Taney County Fire Protection District for their fire protection, and they were also paying taxes to the city of Forsyth, which is required to provide fire protection there as well. In essence, the feeling was they didn't need double fire protection, and they didn't think it was right to pay twice for a single service. And they, too, had threatened litigation against the county in the event that they were double taxed. So that's where we were. We had a letter from the fire protection district lawyer threatening a lawsuit if the taxes weren't collected, and we had the complaints from taxpayers threatening a lawsuit if a second tax in favor of the fire protection district was imposed upon them. I looked into the law, and I could not find any legal answer to the question of whether or not it was proper to have two taxes for these people in that overlapping area of fire protection. What I did find was that in the state of Missouri, where you have a legal question that impacts the citizens of this state, and there's no clear-cut answer, you can file a request with your circuit court for an answer. It's called a declaratory judgment action. And it simply says, here's the problem. Please give us the answer. We don't know who's right. Now, that's oversimplifying it, but that's the procedure that was available to the county. The alternative was to just let lawsuits be filed. The county commission authorized me to file a lawsuit on behalf of the county, and I did so, simply stating that we had these conflicting claims against the county officers who are charged with helping the fire protection district collect their taxes. Either way, we'd been threatened with lawsuits, and that there just simply was no clear-cut answer in the law. That was the declaratory judgment action that was filed. I want to point out that the county commission took no sides in this, and a review of the record, a review of the petition and the amended petition and the declaratory judgment action, which I filed in the name of the County of Taney, makes it clear that there are these two conflicting points of view, but that all that's being asked by the county is a decision one way or the other under the law, and there's no effort to take a side either in favor of the Taney County Fire Protection District or the city of Forsyth, which was also a party to that lawsuit. And that was the position of the county throughout the pendency of the declaratory judgment action. You might ask, how can this happen? How can you have, in this day and age, citizens subject to two taxes, getting double fire protection? I mean, towns annex property all the time. Fire protection districts are set up on the edges of towns. That's why they're there, because there is no municipality already providing fire protection. So you know that we've had a history of towns growing and fire protection districts having an area that is suddenly overlapped by the city, and yet we don't have lawsuits, we don't have fights, we don't have double taxation claims. As near as I can tell, the answer is that the legislature addressed the problem long ago with two different statutory schemes that says when you have an overlapping area, when you have a township and a fire protection district that now protect the same people, here's how it's resolved. One or the other of you is going to provide the fire protection. One or the other of you is going to get the tax, and maybe you split it up. Maybe you agree between yourselves. But as far as fire protection goes, the citizen will get one adequate set of protections and be taxed only one time for it. Here's the problem with those statutes. The legislature provided for towns with a population of 2,500 or more. Forsyth didn't meet that threshold. There is no statute. For whatever reason, the legislature at the state level passed the laws that start at 2,500 and did not address the situation that arose here. So although there's a statutory scheme that's set out for dealing with this, that presumably has been used in the past by bigger towns and other fire protection districts, legally it wasn't binding on anyone in this situation, leaving us with the unanswered question of what do you do and the declaratory judgment action. Okay. We had that on file. The fire protection district went ahead and filed a separate lawsuit seeking the damages that they claimed earlier and seeking an order requiring that the taxes be imposed and continue to be imposed in the future. So we now had a second lawsuit. This one was the Central Taney County Fire Protection District's lawsuit, and it sued the county collector, the county clerk, and the county assessor, and the city of Forsyth, not the Taney County Commission. I'd note that the Taney County Commission has not been a party to any of these lawsuits. The closest that it's come was authorizing me to file the declaratory judgment action I spoke of earlier, which was in the name of the county on behalf of everyone in the county. The two lawsuits were consolidated by Judge Sandra West, who was assigned to hear both cases. Ultimately, she entered her judgment. She concluded that the tax should have been imposed for 2011 and 2012, and the Fire Protection District was entitled to that tax. And she ordered the county officials to collect it. Now, I note that between the time that the two lawsuits I've told you about were filed and the time that Judge West ruled, one very significant thing occurred. The Attorney General for the state of Missouri weighed in with an opinion on this very question. And the Attorney General for the state of Missouri said, after reviewing the law, he recognized the gap in coverage for towns under 2,500. He recognized the inconsistency in that, the inconsistency in how you treat people in towns greater than 2,500 and those less than 2,500. Recognize the argument that people are being subjected to double taxation for a single, what is in essence a single service, and concluded, though, that there is nothing in the law that prohibits that result, two taxes for one service. And therefore, according to the Attorney General, the tax should have been imposed. The Attorney General's opinion is, like any other lawyer's opinion, it's just that. It's not binding, but it's persuasive. And I think that all parties recognize that. We expedited a hearing before Judge West, which was attended by the lawyers for Taney County in the declaratory judgment action. The elected officials with Taney County were represented by their lawyer. The Fire Protection District was present in the form of some of their officials. Two or three of those gentlemen appeared. Their lawyer was not present. He had withdrawn from the case for health reasons, so they did not at that time have a lawyer, but they were present for the hearing. Judge West took the matter under advisement and rendered the judgment we've talked about, ordering all county officials to take whatever steps were required by the law to collect that back tax and to continue to collect it in the future until she or another judge ordered differently. So there we were. Clearly, the county officials were required to collect the back tax. The only question was how to do it. And here's where another statute, Missouri State statute, entered into the picture that I, quite frankly, didn't realize was there, and I don't think it's ever used. But what it says is that when a new tax is imposed, the procedure for doing so is the county commission, after a public hearing, and concluding that it's required to do so, ask the prosecuting attorney or the county council to file a lawsuit with the court, the circuit judge in that county, asking that the judge review it and order the imposition of the new tax. It also provides that if you cut corners, if you don't file that action with the circuit judge and impose the tax, just go ahead and do it, that you're subject to removal from office and to being found guilty of a misdemeanor. So it is a very real requirement with very real penalties for the public officials who ignored it. I will say that in this case it was an extra, it was an add-on, superfluous. Some would say it was needless because Sandra West, the judge in the original case, had already entered her order and no one was allowed to just disobey it. So the only way to obey her order, though, and comply with the statute I just described, was to file a third action, and that's what I did. And all that it was titled here in Taney County was with regard to the Central Taney County Fire Protection District case or tax matter. That was presented to Judge Orr after some consideration of concerns that had been raised about the sufficiency of Judge West's first order, some concerns about how clear it was and what it actually required. The judge continued the case. Eventually, Judge West, Sandra West, revised and clarified her judgment so that some of the details on how to collect the tax were ironed out and clarified for the benefit of the county officials charged with collecting this tax. Judge Orr entered his order, and that then put in motion the machinery for collecting the tax. The assessor did what he was supposed to do, the clerk did what she was supposed to do, and the collector has done what she's supposed to do. And that, unfortunately, has resulted in a situation where certain taxpayers who receive tax bills now for 2011, even though they acquired the property after 2012, are going to be responsible for the tax. Now, I say responsible for the tax, at least from the commission's standpoint, there's nothing that the commission can do to assist in that regard. I think from my remarks you can see that looking back, if I could change things, wave a magic wand and change things, at the outset I would have the Missouri State Legislature long ago not limit the scope of their corrective statutes to towns of 2,500 or more, because we wouldn't be here if that had been done. But it was. If I could wave my magic wand, the declaratory judgment action that I've talked to you folks about, I would have filed before names were removed from the tax rolls initially. It may have been, if the result by Judge West had been different in response to that lawsuit, that there would have been refunds due taxpayers who had paid a tax that was ultimately determined to be improper, as opposed to collecting one that was not collected earlier. But you can't grind corn with water that's already gone down the creek, so my talking about what I do with the magic wand doesn't really matter today. The point is, in response to the commission's request, what can they do to help this lady out and other taxpayers similarly situated? The answer is the county commission can't do anything. I can tell you I've been a lawyer for over 30 years now. My recommendation to those people would be that they go see a lawyer, find a lawyer, ask them if they can come up with any alternatives that might help these folks out. And if they think I'm wrong, if they think the county commission can do anything to help out, let me know. I'm willing to look at anything. If I've missed the law, I'm more than happy to tell these commissioners that they have authority to do something. But right now, my conclusion is that they do not. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cotty. Comments? The real reason, and I apologize if I'm being redundant, that we asked Frank to address this issue is because there are a number of people within the community that did not have a clear vision of what had happened or how we have got to where we are today. A number of people who are calling asking us to waive taxes that the county commission doesn't have the ability to waive. A number of people that are calling asking if we can, in fact, do something different than has already occurred, and as counsel has advised us, he can find nothing within Missouri law. However, I am not so sure that those same statutes apply to the Central Taney County Fire Protection District. They may or may not. They are the entity that brought the lawsuit against the three elected county officials in the courthouse, and they are the entity, I believe, that might be able to answer some questions or be able to find some relief for property owners who did not own property during those 2 years that were taxed. And I don't know where that would be found within Missouri law, but that is a possibility. Any questions or comments from anybody that is here?
Next to you. we've all talked about this, that it's an unfair situation. We as elected officials have discussed among ourselves the situation that we were put in. And honestly, for the taxpayers that did pay the tax, they feel it's unfair for those people who owe the tax to not have to pay it. So it was a difficult situation on both sides. The commission at the time was made aware of the issue back in July 30th, 2010, as they were sitting on the Board of Equalization. We found that the issue was brought before then Commissioner Jim Strafis, Chuck Pennell, and Danny Strahan as members of the BOE. And that issue was brought by James Strahan, who had received complaints from taxpayers that they were being double taxed. At that time, County Councilor Bob Paulson instructed the BOE that it was not their responsibility to adjust tax codes through the BOE process. It was not the responsibility of the assessor to change those tax codes. Unfortunately, I guess he determined later that he felt it was his responsibility and did so. Excuse me.
Would it be possible that we could get a copy of the written record of what you have alluded to this morning?
We have a full transcript of the entire meeting that was digitally recorded.
Appreciate that. I do know that the assessor, and this was not covered, I don't think, by Frank's comments, based his decision regarding this, what he felt was double taxation, upon another statute that was not addressed by the circuit court. And he felt very strongly about that particular law, and it did not even come up as this was being debated in circuit court, either in it wouldn't have been pre-discussions, but during the declaratory judgment, at least, and the weighing of that particular issue.
Do you know what that statute is, Ron?
I didn't represent the assessor or the clerk or the collector in this, so I'm not up on what the law, that particular law is. I do understand that the assessor thought there was a statute that had not been complied with by the Fire Protection District and was the basis, in part, therefore, for removing names. I know that was there. I just don't understand. I don't know what the law is that he relied upon, and I'm not qualified to comment on that. The bigger issue that I was aware of when I drafted this declaratory judgment action, asking that we have the issue resolved, was the question of double taxation for the same service. That one I understood, the constitutional question. But I do know that in the course of the pendency of the matter before Judge West and the presentation of it to her for her ruling, that particular law that you're talking about, Ms. Neely, was presented, and so it was there. It was a live issue in front of the court. I just don't remember
what
the details of it or how it was resolved.
Of course, the assessor did have every opportunity to present that to you as the attorney, taking that to the judge, correct, in your declaratory judgment? He could have presented that statute to you.
Sure. And it was presented to me and to the Fire Protection District. And in fact, yeah, I'm convinced that stone was not left unturned, Donna. The matter was researched and submitted. So it wasn't neglected. It was just not accepted by the judge.
Okay.
Any other comments? Frank, any ending or closing remarks?
No, sir.
We appreciate you breaking this down for us and enlightening us on the history of how we got to where we are today. I'll make one more remark that the County Commission feels very compassionate to those individuals who purchased property following the 2012 tax year. And there have been at least three or four of those individuals that have contacted me personally, and I know that they've chatted with the other commissioners, or feel that they've chatted with the other commissioners based on comments made in commission. But it's unfortunate. The law is what the law is. We will continue. I have a call in to talk with a member of the fire district to see if there's any remedy there, because as I understand it, there's no remedy through the county commission. There's no remedy through the collector's office, the clerk's office, or the assessor's office at this time. So
that is absolutely the truth. And, you know, as a lawyer, I find that I often have to tell my clients what they need to know instead of what they want to hear. And this was one situation like that. I know that the members of the commission and the county officials involved all feel sympathetic for these taxpayers. But there is nothing in the law that can be done by these entities to help them out. Again, I would recommend that they find a lawyer of their own and see if there aren't alternatives available. But I can tell you that I don't believe that the county officials or the county commission are going to be able to help, as sympathetic as they are.
I have a question, a couple of questions, if I'm on.
Jan Clark, Taney County Times. I was wondering if Mr. Strahan came to you or the county before he removed the names and asked whether that would be prudent to do before removing the people from the tax rolls?
He did not come to me, and I'm not aware of who he conferred with. I was not his lawyer at any time in this process, but you may remember, Jan, I didn't even become a commission lawyer until after all of this had begun. So the answer, what I know of, is he never spoke with me before it happened. But then again, I wasn't a lawyer on the scene before it happened either.
He didn't talk to you before.
Let's let Frank answer the question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And my second question would be, you just made the comment that Central might have the authority to do something. Are you putting that now on Central's back?
I didn't put anything on Central's back. Central Taney County Fire Protection District is the entity that brought the lawsuit against the assessor, the collector, and the clerk.
And so now you just said, though, that Central might have a remedy? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. But what I am stating is that individuals might seek remedy there through the Central Taney County Fire Protection District. We have been ordered, correct me if I'm wrong, Frank, to collect the taxes.
Correct. I've been through the whole process.
Taxes will then be distributed to the fire district.
Correct.
Not only that, had we not sought the last order that was directed to us to seek through Sandra West, each of the elected officials, the assessor, the collector, the clerk, and the county commission, under Missouri law, would have been guilty of a misdemeanor, and if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Cotty removed from office.
Correct. I understand.
So we didn't
that.
Have much alternative but to
but
say.
But had they not been removed from the list in the first place, none of this would have happened, unless you would have got an attorney's opinion first prior to removing, like you have been doing in other situations where things have been coming into question, just like with the senior tax lately. And talk about how they're going to handle their situation with their monies.
Yeah, and I don't have an answer for you there. Okay. If I'm not mistaken, according to Donna, this happened in 2010. Prior to me, but
Mr. Strahan came before the BOE, and we all discussed the double taxation issue. We all had compassion for the taxpayers that had complained to the assessor's office. But Al Paulson went through the law, and the laws that James had presented to him. He read those statutes. Those statutes are right in the transcript. I believe he listed the numbers anyway. But there is reference to him reviewing the statutes that James brought to Bob Paulson. And Bob explained then that it was not the responsibility of the BOE to change any tax codes, nor was it the assessor's responsibility of the clerks or the collectors. Those boundaries could not be changed by us, based on the statutes that he was bringing.
Where did the other elected officials stand on whether or not that those taxes should be assessed?
I can't speak for anybody else but me. I think we all feel compassionate for these people, and they should not have to be paying twice for the same service.
But the question is, did you feel that those taxes should be levied?
At the time?
Anytime.
When we received instruction from Mr. Paulson that we were not to change those tax codes, we knew it was the law. You have to follow the law as an elected official.
You know, as a lawyer for the commission, just a lawyer generally who has clients, that's the right attitude. You have to follow the law. Right. You can't cut corners, and that's what everybody's doing now. The deal is the county and its officials here simply act as a collection agency for the fire protection district. And in one sense, to tinker with what money is collected now by, for instance, forgiving taxes because we're sympathetic, would be really playing with other people's money. It's the fire protection district's money, and Ms. Clark raised the question about comments about the fire protection district. It's their money. It's their determination what they want to do with it. And if I were in the taxpayer's position now, one entity I would think about talking to is the people who are getting the money. See if they what they want to do.
Well,
but without saying what they should do or what they're legally entitled to do or obligated to do, I haven't researched that, and I certainly haven't advised the commission or any of these county officials on that part of it. What I have said is you're a collection agent. You are a servant of the fire protection district required under the law to collect and disperse this tax, and that's the law.
And so that I can clarify with Jan and her question to me, what we have understood is that there's no remedy through the county commission or the three elected officials that are involved in the taxation process. There may or may not be a remedy within the Central Taney County Fire Protection District as an entity, and I don't know the answer to that. Mr. Cotty, thank you for investing all the time that I know you have invested in this issue for us.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to talk. I was pleased to do so in this case because I, too, am sympathetic to these taxpayers.
Accounts payable. Or do we want to put that at the end of?
Move to approve checks number 338973. Through 338983, 338984, through 339052. Make a note that we are holding check number 339053, and it's agreeable by everybody. There was just a contract issue on something that needs to be cleared up. So. And then two transfers, journal entry, transfer station to Road and Bridge, and then for paper usage. 338973 through 339052.
So, motion is to approve checks 338973 through 339052.
Correct.
Is this the one that?
Correct.
And to hold 339053.
Correct.
Journal entry from transfer station R&B and journal entry for paper usage discussion. All
second.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Transfer station discussion. Gentlemen. It's just put on here and not approved directly.
will.
Check. Good morning.
Morning.
Morning. Help me with what we're entering into in the conversation.
Actually, I didn't post this on here, but we're here to...
Trying to remember. Rockaway Beach, perhaps?
One of the items I think needs to be discussed, and I did receive a memo from Rockaway that they... We're going to have a cleanup, and we're going to have several tars, and what to do with the tars. And they were seeking advice from us.
I think the primary question was, they're not doing their cleanup at the time that we're going to have the transfer station set up to receive trash, et cetera. It's going to be sometime after.
I believe it's at a time beyond operation hours.
At the time that this was put on, we were thinking that it was... this past weekend in March, or immediately thereafter, I guess, but it's at the end of April. So the question is, will we extend the cleanup to that particular city at that particular given date based upon the same that we're doing for all the other citizens in the county on the, is it the 4th and 5th?
5th and 6th? What day is it?
4th and 5th.
Our cleanup was 4th and 5th.
Okay, 4th and 5th.
And I don't have an issue with that, and have so stated. How about you, Brandon?
No, I don't have a problem with that. There's also the revised 65 that City Hollister is doing.
And when is that?
Once it's the following weekend, the weekend after. They had already made when their weekend was, I believe, before we finalized when our weekend was going to be. So... I think in the future we probably need to have better communication with all the cities so we can...
If we could set a date in the future, that obviously would
just communicate
work for
the
them.
Let them know what they're... Tell them to let us know what they're thinking so that it all can be... But then the question would be, Stottle, is that going to be... Should we do a municipality weekend and then a individual weekend? In the future, just because is it going to cause overloads of any kind? Or
well, I think we can have that discussion. And however, now, since we have a couple of entities that have designated days that are separate from when our cleanup day is, I would suggest that we go ahead and accept what it is that they bring to the transfer station, that you all coordinate with them so that we can treat them the same way as we do all the other citizens. And as far as the fall of the tire question is concerned, charge them the same thing that we're charging John Doe if John Doe were to bring a tire in. Is that, should we look at something different or? I mean, right now it's going to be at a reduced, cheaper rate, correct? Because it is cleanup?
We're up to 12 tires.
So, an individual or an entity can bring into the transfer station up to 12 tires. Is there a rate for those tires, or is that at no charge?
$1 per tire during cleanup.
$1 per tire.
I'm assuming Rockaway feels like they're going to have more than one tire, or 12 tires?
I need to... Talk to the gentleman. He just gave an estimated 30 plus, possibly. It is the only comment I got. But I need to talk with him what they're thinking. I don't think there was any real definite number.
Question on the tires. Did they cut the sidewalls out of them? Would they be still with the dollar cards on them?
Be about weight, then.
Yeah.
Brandon, if you have different comments other than what I suggest.
No, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, I think the initial, goal of this was for cleanup, and that's what they're trying to do with their own cities. So.
Let's have you gentlemen get a hold of them and see if we can coordinate that effort, and we can accommodate them to be as helpful to those cities as we are everybody else within the county and different communities. And then next year we'll try to coordinate ahead of time. If we could land on one weekend, that would be better.
City of Rockaway was one of them. Who was the other?
City of Hofstra, they have the Revive 65 they're doing. I think it's April 12th is when their plans were.
Do you have a contact?
Is it Terry? I think Terry brought it up maybe. I just call Rick and find out who would.
Zig and Fusa put you on, to whomever it is.
Okay. But while we're on the. Did you guys have anything else on transfer station?
We plan, if we can work this out, try to repair a piece of the floor.
That's what I was about to say. I was there Saturday.
We need to cut out and repair that section. It's getting worse, so we can do that on our own, basically.
It is something we can do. Didn't we do some cores or something?
Yeah, we've done core samples and everything, and that actually told us we didn't have a settling problem under there, what was first thought, and it's just basically wear in the concrete that we need to cut out that section.
How do we not have settling there if it's... In the last year, it's probably dipped an extra foot.
When they're actually packing, that's where the front bucket sits.
And I was wondering, is it a coincidence, or is that, do you think, part of the cause?
It's wear from the machine.
So we probably need to look at something from the back end, reach in and push down. We need to look at other alternatives on how to do this.
And that'll fall too, whether you change the facility.
So we need to start taking a stronger look at the facility and everything. Have we outgrown that facility?
Pretty much.
Is it making money?
It's making us money. I mean, quite a bit of money. I mean, we're operating to pretty much in the black as far as making money.
We're not supplementing it for general county revenue any longer. It's carrying its weight.
Okay.
Taking care of itself, so.
So we're able to keep the prices low. I mean, the minimum fee is still pretty low for people. And
right.
It's not. I think somebody said in St. Louis area they charge you a minimum one ton no matter what. Like $55, even if you take one bag, I think is what somebody's telling me.
Wow.
So it's good that we can offer that to the people.
Cheap as I found is $35, whether it's one bag or not.
And what's our minimum? $5?
Five.
So the goal is there, I mean, to make it affordable for people to... Okay. But yeah, I just noticed, Ron, this week, have you been out there?
Not this week, no.
You've been out there recently to see the floor? It's pretty bad. You guys are cutting the steel out of there quite a bit, aren't you? Cutting the rebar out?
Yeah.
It's got a pretty good little dip there.
David thinks we can do that, and I kind of agree. I think we can do that without having to shut down. Part of that we may do late in the day or towards, so it's open the next morning, basically. But we can schedule that to where we don't have to close the transfer station to repair that section.
Other comments on the transfer station?
I didn't know it was over the other deal, so this doesn't matter. That's what we need.
That's what it costs us.
Mm-hmm. Sheriff?
No, sir.
You can address this next issue for me if you want.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You have God.
Yep.
Do next issue would be a new ordinance to authorize the issuance of permits for the operation of all-terrain vehicles and utility vehicles on certain county roads.
Did Donna want to talk about that?
We had talked about this as a commission in the past and had agreed, based upon her telling us that there had been a change, that we needed to draft a change, update our existing ordinance, and I believe that's what that is.
I see some spelling things she needs to.
You got any questions about this, Sheriff, or nothing? Yeah, but I think that we need to have those spelling
right.
issues addressed. Let's move it to a future meeting, if that's all right.
No,
send that directly to Frank. We don't have anything in-house from Frank on that.
Okay.
So we're going to reschedule the UTV-ATV discussion.
I'm sure Daniel want to talk about it, too.
Vacation of certain roads in Oliver Township. If I'm not mistaken, we've already had the discussion and vote to vacate the roads that are in question.
What roads are in question?
Didn't have was the paperwork that included the cul-de-sac, etc.
I'll open that up so you can grab it.
Randy, on the vacations that we looked at before, if I'm not mistaken, the paperwork that's in front of us is the paperwork for the three commissioners assigned based upon the agreed upon cul-de-sac, et cetera, for those vacations. The commission has already voted to vacate, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Oh, this is the Is this saying the cul-de-sac's done, or is this just saying that they have to put the cul-de-sac in before we will?
We said we voted to approve it contingent upon, and it would become effective once the cul-de-sac was there, I believe.
Right. So what is, I guess, what is the...
That's the paperwork that's necessary to make it legal and binding.
Because we wanted that added.
Yes.
But the cul-de-sac identified as Exhibit A is construction accepted by the Tannehill County Road and Bridge Department.
Yes.
Can we wait on Danny for that, though?
We can't. We can set it aside till Thursday or Monday. Or we can sign it and he can sign it when he comes in.
I think we should let him vote on it, too.
We've already voted.
Just assigning?
Yes. You can hold it, though, if you have questions. I don't have a problem at all. You got any comments on this, Randy?
I don't.
This is just the problem, the corrected paperwork.
Right.
I just didn't know why we were...
Thank you. through the media's edification, we had voted upon certain vacations in the past that were presented by council. We didn't have the paperwork in front of us to sign based upon the contingencies that we wanted to be provided for the vacation. They have added that now. Have I missed anything that was on this morning? We have an executive session that is scheduled for the commission conference room upstairs. It's 11. I would like to stand in recess until that time.
Let me, Dan.